Okay, well, I was going to speak really fast, and now I'm going to speak even faster. So I have nothing to report. So I'm preaching to the choir here, but why do we want to collect occupational information, electronic health records? We know that workers spend close to half of their waking hours at work, and so that has a tremendous relationship on their health. It also affects their families, and it's always been very important to us to try and get a foothold within primary care as a way of collecting better data, and we feel that electronic health records really gives us a great opportunity for this. So a couple of years ago, NIOSH commissioned a report from the Institute of Medicine, and I'm not going to be able to go into that in detail here, but those of you who haven't seen this, it's a really excellent compilation of the issues and the challenges ahead of us. So how do we meet the very ambitious objectives that the IOM set out for us? There's been a couple of approaches that NIOSH has used, and one is through advocacy and partnership with groups like APHA and others. The other is trying to become a required part of the various standards and other systems that have been set up through the electronic health record mechanism. But what's I think very important, what I'm going to focus on today, is projects that we've done to define and demonstrate feasibility. Because if we get ourselves in the standards, but we aren't able to actually figure out a way to meaningfully incorporate this, then we're going to be in trouble. So what I'd like to do in this talk is talk about what we've been doing about defining and demonstrating feasibility. So the first thing is to talk about how to collect industry and occupation data in the electronic health records. Then how would we use this data once it's there? And what are some of the issues in terms of ethics and privacy? So in terms of covering how to collect industry and occupation data, I'd like to first talk about some things we've done about assessing current practice, how to code narrative data, which is one of the real challenges, how to then collect it in a clinical setting, and also how to go about building patient portals for this. So in terms of assessing current practice, we partnered with the Association of Occupational Environmental Clinics and held four regional meetings where we got input from 35 different clinics. We asked them, do they use EHRs, how do they collect industry and occupation, and how do they use it? So what we found is that almost all the centers now are using electronic health records. About 60% of them collected industry and occupation by the clinicians, about 40% in the intake process. For almost all of them, industry and occupation are captured as narrative fields. And as narrative fields, that makes it very challenging to search and then use for surveillance or clinical decision support or whatever else. 50% of them said although they collected this data, they didn't use it in any kind of meaningful way. And only one clinic had developed any kind of clinical decision support systems. So one of the big challenges that we've heard about is when you collect narrative data, how do you then code it and then use it in such ways that it can be incorporated? So one of the things that NIOSH has been doing is developing an artificial intelligence system, which we call NIOX. It was first set up for death certificate data, but what it would actually do is translate textual data into census-based industry and occupation codes. So now we're using that data to look at survey-based data, which is a little more complicated than death certificates, and part of this is incorporating how it can be used to code data from electronic health records. So once we have the idea of how you collect it and code it, then the idea is can you actually do it in a clinical setting? So after me, we'll be hearing from the Cambridge Health Alliance about a very interesting project they did. But we also just funded a network of clinics in Los Angeles, the St. John's Community Health Centers, and they'll be modifying their GE Centricity EHR to collect these data, both narrative and codes, and then I'll be collecting the data over the course of a year. Another thing we did is a pilot project to look at patient portals. And so the goal of this was to how to gather industry and occupational information through a patient interface with limited burden. So this shows you an example of a patient interface. Many of you probably have these through your health system. So we worked with Catherine Hayes at the University of Utah, and Catherine Stays. And so what she did was summarize current practice in the kinds of questions that people use to collect information and code them, and the methods for coding them. And then they used an interactive user design system to test and cognitive interviews to test people's interface with the computer. So this just shows you an example of one of the questions that they tested. And this is looking at it asks, what kind of work do you do? And people would type in their answers. One of the things they found was that it was very important to give people good and bad examples of the kind of information that they wanted to collect. Another thing they did was something called an intelligent drop-down menu. And through this is sort of like when you go to Google search and you start typing in things you want to search, it gives you examples. And so this was tied to the NIOC system, so as people typed, it would bring up examples, and then they could click on the job title that was similar to theirs, and it would link it to a code. So the preliminary findings from that, it gave us a lot of interesting information about getting patient information from patients through portals. One of the things that we found is that this system of looking at how to code information through this mechanism, we could get close. You would get different codes using the different methods, and they were close to one another, but not exactly the same. And this raised a question about actually what's the level of accuracy we need to collect in terms of the codes in the electronic health records. So the next thing in terms of looking at feasibility is once you get these codes into the records, how do you use them? And one of the important things is something called clinical decision support. And so this is a system by which you use standardized data, coded data that I just talked about, in order to trigger user-friendly delivery of information that's relevant to care. And the important thing is that when the patient comes in, the information that you're getting is relevant to the particular patient, their particular symptoms, and it happens at the point of time where a physician is actually making a decision about what to do. And so this is an important way to use the injury and the industry and occupation information in a meaningful way. So NIOSH was just funded for a 4-year project to develop clinical decision support around occupational safety and health. The project has 3 specific aims. The first is you develop a knowledge base. So the question is, we want to give primary care clinicians information. What information, what evidence-based information do we actually have that will influence primary care for in a clinical setting? The second would be then to take that information and change it into electronic systems that can be delivered as part of the electronic health record. And then the third specific aim is to try and implement that in a clinical setting. So we've just started the first specific aim, and we're trying to develop the knowledge base. We've chosen 3 outcomes that we want to try and influence. The first is an example of a condition that's actually caused or exacerbated by occupational exposures, and that would be occupational asthma. The second is a chronic disease that might be influenced by working conditions, and in that case we're talking about diabetes. And the third is developing return to work guidances, and since we'll be primarily looking at primary care clinics, in this case it's going to be how do primary care practitioners develop return to work guidance for conditions like back injuries that may not necessarily be related to work, but going back to work is influenced by the injury. So then the last aspect of feasibility that I'd like to cover is the whole issue of ethics and privacy concerns. And this is a very important area in terms of feasibility. And the Institute of Medicine report specifically charged us with trying to explore some of these issues. So we held a workshop in June of 2013. We brought together legal experts, ethicists, labor, industry, clinicians, state health departments, workers' compensation, et cetera. And the issue was, the goals were to define the issues and challenges and to look at next steps. So the major issue and challenge is that electronic health records are set up to develop longitudinal interoperable medical records that make information available to many more people than in the past. But the challenge is that there's no comprehensive privacy laws that apply to all health data. And occupational health data is particularly susceptible to this because the HIPAA laws actually exclude workers' compensation information. And there are state regulations in some states that cover it, but this isn't universal. And any kind of any kind of health information that's collected through screening programs as part of an employment site is also not covered by the HIPAA law. So this provides many challenges in terms of interoperability. And as we know, it's very important to keep certain personal medical information as not the domain and relevant to an employer and a person's work situation. So this raises a lot of complicated privacy and ethical issues. So we talked about this as part of this conference. And the main thing, we came up with some conceptual approaches, and there'll be a report of this conference that'll be coming out in the future. But the idea is that integration of health data is very important, but that confidentiality is also important, and that what we need is confidentiality rules that travel with the information as part of the electronic health record. And there's actually examples of this where IT capability has implemented rules so that certain pieces of information become sort of locked and not available to certain parties unless you have authorization to access that information. And there's been a lot of pilot studies looking at things like mental health data and substance abuse data, where they've demonstrated the ability to have this kind of segmentation of data and making sure that only authorized parties get access to it. So I think this is a really important challenge for us to take advantage of the opportunities posed by electronic health records. So moving forward, as I said, it's really important that we continue to establish feasibility while we're out there talking to the various standards boards and others about the importance of including industry and occupation in the electronic health records. And we just like to thank, the only way NIOSH has been able to do all this work is because of the great stakeholders out there who have been really helping us in providing opportunities and supporting what we do. I can't believe I made it.
Into the 15 minutes.
Okay, for questions. Good.
Nice job.
David?
Intriguing presentation, as I expected. One question I had that was, how are you struggling with the issue of the evidence base for diabetes, or particularly return to work, in the face of the different kinds of ways one defines evidence base? How rigorous does the evidence have to be? How confident do you have to be, A, to travel the procedural grounds within the system, and B, in your own sense of scientific integrity?
Right. So that's a great question. We're just starting that part of it. So we're going to be convening work groups to look at this. And I think it's a great opportunity. It's a great challenge to us in occupational safety and health. Can we put forth and convince our colleagues who work in diabetes and respiratory disease and other sorts of things that we have information and evidence base to make these kind of recommendations? So we're going to be pulling together work groups of experts, and anyone who's interested in this, I welcome them to give me your name to collaborate on it. But electronic health records provides opportunities. I think that's the whole issue of feasibility. Are we prepared to step forward with the level of evidence, the information, and everything else that can actually, as you say, convince our colleagues that work is important to health? We've been saying it, but do we have the evidence to show that to them?
One more question?
Yeah. You.
I was just listening to a continuing education that was done by someone at Dartmouth Hitchcock, and I forget his name offhand, but he was actually part of our group.
Yeah.
Yeah. He talked
Bob
about
McClellan.
Not work and health so much as health and work.
Right.
They did seem to be able to devise a method to keep these two quarantined from each other, and he talked about that. It seemed very important, and I don't know if you talked to the folks over at Dartmouth Hitchcock.
Yeah, actually, he came to the workshop, and I think This is in Dartmouth, Hitchcock, where they've come up with a very nice integrated program. I think in that case it works because you have individuals who are really committed to the system and they control the data. I think the problem that we run into is once it's in electronic health records, it becomes so easy. You push a button and the entire record gets sent off to someone. And so it's not as a controlled environment. But I think he has a lot of lessons to teach us about how they've set up systems there.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.